If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to 1 Corinthians again. I'd like to start reading verse number 12, and we'll continue reading to about verse 27. The Bible says in verse 12, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." Now, the church is the body of Christ, what it's considered. And you'll find all throughout the Bible, church was always an ecclesia. It was a called out assembly and a people that was baptized, that were coveted together to carry out the work of the Great Commission. That's pretty simple. If you want to look at it in the simplest terms, that's probably how it is, that called out assembly. Well, the Bible says, "For there's one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body." Now, I know some people jump on this, two groups jump on it. The Universalist, that believes that the Spirit of God places in some invisible body of Christ way out there in the heavens, and everybody that's saved is a part of this universal church, and that we all ought to just get along. But the word "by" is a preposition, is an epsilon nu in the Greek, and it says, "For in one Spirit." I believe that we come in unison of spirit as members of this one body when we're baptized into this body, and we are to carry out this work that God has called us to do. And what Paul sets out to do from this point on is really, and we can get into a lot of the, we'd have to look at 119 verses that use the word church tonight. I preached on the church a while back. You can hunt it up on sermon audio if you really want to be thorough with it and check it back. And I didn't read all 119, but I covered a lot of them, okay? And you'll find each church, the body, each member in particular has a function as God designed it that was sovereignly assigned to them that only they can accomplish in that particular body. I believe every person has a function and every person has a purpose, and that purpose is absolutely essential within the work of the body of Christ. And so we find that the Bible says, "For the body is not one member, but many. Now remember, let me just point this out. He was writing to the church of God that was at Corinth. It was a local assembly. He addressed local problems, local issues, and local misunderstandings they were having. And that's what he was dealing with. And so he says, "The body is not one member, but many." And you see, we're all not just about one person. It's about all of us together collectively, diverse but yet unified. And so the Bible says that if the foot shall say, "Because I'm not the hand, I'm not the body, is therefore not of the body." If the ear shall say, "Because I'm not the eye, I'm not the body, is it therefore not the body?" If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where the body? But now are they members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of thee," nor can the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." That's what he said. You Corinthians are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Father, thank you for the opportunity to preach tonight. And I don't know how far I'll go, but I pray that wherever we get, that whatever is said will be needful for the hour. And I pray, God, it will be not only heard tonight, but retained. And God, may we remember these principles within your word. Thank you for the opportunity to stand before this body. And I pray everyone, when they leave here tonight, understand that they are vitally important to the work of Christ in this church. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The church of Corinth was a very carnal church. They were constantly fighting and bickering with divisions. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 10 through 13. They were maturing, but they hadn't matured where they ought to be. In fact, many of them were still acting like babies in 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 5, they were tolerating immorality. In fact, gross immorality. But somehow it seems that within this group of carnality and immaturity, these people were gifted saints. Now, I want you to understand that amazes me that these people, they possess gifts. Now, let me just say this to you. It doesn't matter how carnal an individual is. God still yet gifts people with abilities and talents to accomplish His plan here on the earth. Now, what may hinder them is their carnality. May hinder them maybe just the wrong thinking or having the wrong desires. And the problem was the people at Corinth, listen to me, they were more interested in what they considered to have flashy gifts. They wanted the gifts that they thought were the big time gifts. They wanted the important stuff, the showy stuff. That's what they desired. They wanted those things that called attention to self. And listen, what they should have been more interested in was those that brought ministry to others, those that would help people. That's the things that they should have desired, but they were not desiring those things. So let me just say to you that you'll find that every believer God has gifted with spiritual gifts. I believe that. But it's also, let me be crystal clear in this, that not every believer is going to have the same spiritual gifts. Within the charismatic movement, they believe and teach everybody ought to have the same ones, especially the gift of tongues. And so Paul asks several questions here. We see probably somewhat rhetorical about these gifts. And so for anyone to make tongues a sign, and I'll spend more time on this, a sign of God's presence or of being pleased with an individual, or God's power upon an individual, to make that an identifying mark of that individual being spirit-filled is just not biblical, and it is a false doctrine. It just is. I will chase that rabbit, I promise you, later down the road. But what I want to say to you that what we need to see today, every believer has been gifted with gifts from God to be used in His ministry. And we're going to see that even though this text unfolds, here's what I want you to understand, that we may have different gifts, different abilities, but every one of us is uniquely placed there to benefit the entire body. And there's none that's less important than the other. And we may be distinct, but everybody works distinctively in unison to function as God has called us to function. And so I want us to see this. Now, I want to preach on just simply this, the body of Christ. Now, and through this, I hope that you'll see, even though you're not like someone else, you're important. You may not be the preacher, but guess what? You're vitally important to what's going on here at Mount Hebron Baptist Church. Because if you're not doing what God wants you to do, it's like someone removed a spark plug. Vehicle's not going to run as well. Somebody's removed a lug nut here. Good chance a wheel may come flying off. Amen? There's those things, little things, you may not think is important, but I promise you are important in the grand scheme of things. So let's talk about the placement or a position in the body of Christ. I want to say to you, every believer is a part of a unit. Now that's pretty simple to see. Every single believer is a part to function as a unit. And so I believe that God calls people from all walks of life. That's pretty clear, is it not? I mean, some people are educated more than others. Some people have been educated in the school of hard knocks. Some people have been to college, some high school, some to vocational school. People come from different backgrounds, ethnic backgrounds. Now, there's not a whole lot of different ethnic backgrounds here at Mount Hebron, all right? But in times that there is, and so we see that. People come from different places and levels of society, levels of wealth, and all that. And you know what? Sometimes I'm amazed, and I said this at church camp, when I look at the careers and the things that people are interested in, the things that they do, when I see those men get together at church camp, you'd think that they would have nothing in common and they wouldn't like one another. But you know what? With Christ, being what the focus of that thing is, when they get together, suddenly they enjoy fellowship with one another, and they fit together like a puzzle, and there's complete harmony, and you can't drive those people apart. They love one another. You say, how is that? Because that shows unity within the members of the body of Christ. I believe it's important that we have that as a church. And so I believe that the body of Christ is unified diversity. Not unified university, unified diversity. If there's any diversity I can get into in this world, this day and age, is unified diversity within the body here at Mount Hebron Baptist Church. That's the way it ought to be. Every believer feels his or her place as they are assigned by God, according to this passage. They are to fulfill that place for His honor and glory and function. When we are fulfilling, we're in the place that God has placed us, we will function in optimal ability. I promise you that. You see, God will be glorified and His kingdom work is going to be accomplished when every person is in the place that they belong. Now let me just take, for instance, you take a gas tank, throw over here, you throw a wheel over here, you take the radiator off and throw it there, you take the transmission out. How far is that vehicle going to go? What use is that radiator if it's not placed within the vehicle? What use is that wheel if it's not on the vehicle? What use is the transmission if it's not in the car? It really just laying down, right? And there's a lot of people, you drive out in the roads in Kentucky and out the country roads, you'll see a transmission laying there, you'll see a wheel laying there, see a gas tank right there laying there. I understand that. But what are they really doing functionally? They're doing nothing. And if those parts had not been replaced in the vehicle, guess what? That vehicle is not accomplishing anything. Now, it's just simple. You can take a battery out. You look at it and say, everything looks good. But you move the battery, you move the starter, guess what? That thing is not going anywhere. Take spark plugs out. Don't see it. Take the wires out. You know what it is? I want you to understand that when that happens, it is not going to function as it should. You move a few spark plugs, I promise you it's going to need a tune-up. You know what sometimes is? When God's people are not in the place that they need to be in the body of Christ, they need a spiritual tune-up. And sometimes we think we need revival, we need stirred for this, that, and the other. Sometimes I believe we need a spiritual tune-up and see, what, God, do you want me to do? And I need to be where you want me to be, doing what you've called me to be. And I don't need to be worried about what somebody else is supposed to be doing. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to be doing and be satisfied with that and not jealous. Because he even says here, but covet more earnestly the best gifts. Apparently they were coveting the wrong things. And so I believe every believer and a part of Mount Hebron Baptist Church been baptized in this body, listen to me, is a part of a larger unit and a function to perform. And so what happens is we all do our, when everybody's doing what they're supposed to do, when every spark plug's in there, when every wire's on there, when there's no vacuum suction going on somewhere, it shouldn't be going on, there's a leak, and there's not, and the transmission's in, and everything's where it's supposed to be in that automobile, it cruises right along, and it hums right along. Guess what? I want you to understand there's no need to tune up. That thing is running at optimal performance. When we get where we need to be, this church will hum right along. You won't have to. Let me tell you, you won't have to teach people how to witness other people. They'll do it because they're doing and being what they're supposed to be. Let me move on with this. I believe every believer is placed by God. Every believer. Now you look in verse 15 through 20, and here's what you want to see. He said, if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it not therefore of the body? If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where the hearing, or the whole were hearing, where the smelling? But now God has set members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased Him. And it says, if they were all one member, where the body? But now are they members yet but one body? Now, we see this here. And so I want to say this to you. Look at this verse. A foot usually doesn't get the attention that the hand does. That's pretty simple, is it not? I mean, how many people see your hand? How many people on their wedding day do you think they take pictures of their feet? We got our feet, toes, you know, clenched together. They don't do that. But I got news for you. Even though you may not take pictures of the foot, guess what? How many people, you know, hey, nice to meet you, Brother Paul, and we shake feet. I'd have to be doing some stretching, right? I about fail then. I'm not the Karate Kid. That's not my function in the body, okay? I'm not the ninja at church. Think about it. Now, neither does the ear get the attention that the eye gets. How many poems have you ever read about looking into her, gazing into her ear? How many love songs you ever heard? Oh, her ear was beautiful. Her ear sparkled. That'd be kind of weird, wouldn't it? The ears don't get the attention that the eyes do, and the feet don't get the attention that the hands do, but if every part were the eye, the body would be useless for only one thing to be able to see. If the foot, listen to me, if it were everybody was just a foot, guess what? It'd be good for nothing, maybe a bit of doorstop. That would be it. That's not the purpose. Every believer is placed in this thing by God. God has a purpose. And so what Paul is saying is he's placed us in the body where he wants us to be. You may not consider it a high profile position, but it is an important position with God because he's placed us right where we need to be for the body to function at the way he intends for it to be. Now, I want you to understand, you're placed exactly there by the will of God. Now, to me, there's no greater knowledge that you or me, either one of us, are walking within the body where God has called us to be, functioning and doing what he designed us to be. And so he knows what's best. Do you know that? He knows what's best. Let me say this. Every believer, I believe, has a uniquely and just as an important role within the body of Christ. As you see in verses 21 to 24, I cannot say the hand, I have no need of thee. Neither can head say the feet. Guess what? Feet, I don't need you. I don't need you. Listen, that'd be dumb, wouldn't it? I'd say, hey, hand, I don't have no need of you. I got this. And the head to say, I don't need no feet, no legs. That's just plumb foolish. That would be think that way. Let me just tell you something. Every member within the body of Christ is entirely important. The Bible said, those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we know more abundant honor. And so we find that, I want to say to you today, whoever thinks that they're not important is wrong. Now imagine, today when I got up, I didn't look at myself in the mirror and say, I wonder how my liver looks. Didn't really consider it. But I promise you this, that if I got up and my liver wasn't working, the whole body would know about it. Everybody may not see it, but it's there. It's there, and if it's not functioning, Brother Grant's got problems, you got problems, and you'll know it just like that, and it'll be critical just like that. Now, listen, you don't probably ever really think about your toes. You just don't. But guess what? I want to say to you that if you lose a big toe, guess what? You're going to have to learn to walk. You're going to have to learn to balance. It amazes me. I really don't think about my fingers a whole lot until I stub them. And somebody slaps them, like Justin Pearson, is still swelled, a little punk, playing basketball. But then I get to whine about it and I think about Rodney. Because I couldn't tell how many times I've seen him go steal a ball. And I think, man, if all his digits were there, he got that when somebody throw him a big long pass and he jumps up and it just grazes those nubs. I think, man, them fingers have been there. How many times I've told you that? Aggravate him? Huh? Now you miss you get down to nubs, you'll think about it differently. Every member is important, but every member has a different thing to do. Now, I read this. You know, realize on a pro football team, they suit up 45 people, sometimes 46, depending on different circumstances as they travel. And they go there. Now, you could go to them. You could say, hey, you imagine you go to Peyton Manning this week. Say, how's it looking? How do you think you're all going to do this week? He said, man, this thing, he said, we're playing. We're doing great. Everybody's fired. Everybody's on the same page. Really? Yes. He said, in fact, everybody's on the same page. Every one of us is going to play quarterback. Everybody's going to play quarterback. Yeah, we all think just alike. Everybody thinks just like me. You know, Omaha, and all that good stuff, right? That what he says? What is Omaha? What is it? Is it Omaha? Yeah. Everybody's running around hollering Omaha all the time. Listen, that you think, and I know we got one who hates Peyton Manning back there. But imagine that, 45, guess what I got news for you. They wouldn't function too well if you put 45 quarterbacks out there in that field. Put 11 of them on the field, 11 of them on the line, right? 11 back there is running backs, right? Or not, you know what I'm saying? Whatever you do, you put them in those positions. Guess what? You need those linemen. You need diversity on that team. You need some people that's big that can push up front. You need some people that's fast and go out and catch the ball. Not everybody has to catch the ball, but you better have few people and catch the ball. You don't have to have some people that's just jet quick that can run over people and get downfield. Not all 11 players on the field have to do that, but you better have a few that can do it. You better have some on the line that can block for them, and you better have somebody can hand it to them, somebody that can call the play. Not everybody has to call the play, but somebody's got to call the play. You see what I'm saying? What makes a team great is they're unified in their diversity. And let me say, what makes a church great is when we're unified in our diversity. Different talents. Sometimes I think, man, that person's weird, but God probably puts that weirdo here at Mount Hebron because we needed him or her. He says, that's how you come to be here, Brother Grant, right? And so I understand that. Well, I better get moving before I really get in trouble here. You see, I want you to think about this. We take a lot of body parts for granted probably every day. But if you take that body part out, guess what? What will happen? I'll tell you what will happen. Things are not going to function the way they should function. Now, let me move on. You think about certain things. You go in there, you can take the... I remember one time driving down the road as a teenager, I had a Volkswagen Rabbit, last story, and we started smelling smoke. I pulled the hood up, and the oil cap was gone. Right? And my buddy went outside, and I went back in the vehicle. I was looking, something put over. He said, I got it. And I said, okay. We jumped in here. We're a teenager going down. I said, what did you do? He said, I stuck a sock in it. That sounded pretty good, too. Really didn't think about it. Till it sucked that sock plumb down in there. Woo! My dad wasn't happy the next day. And guess who got to take that thing apart and have the head shaved and everything? That would be me. It wasn't no fun. Take that thing apart to do that. Listen to me. I got news for you. If you lose that, what about if someone didn't put if the oil plug? We had an oil plug that was leaking one time. I called Paul and said, I don't think y'all got the thing right. It's tight. I tightened it up. Guess what I started doing a few days later? It kept leaking again. That's just the way it was. Listen to me. The truth of the matter is that every member is vitally important, and we may not think it is, but guess what it is. And so this portion of Scripture, what we need to see, it doesn't matter how insignificant we think that individual is. It never says a word, never says a whole lot. I promise you, God has got gifted them and has a purpose for them that is vitally important to the work here at Mount Hebron Baptist Church. No one should ever be guilty of believing that they are unimportant to the operation of what God's doing here at Mount Hebron Baptist Church. No one should ever think that they're not needed, because they are certainly needed. And nor should we ever say we don't need them, because the truth of the matter, if God has placed them here, they're needed. They're needed. If they're here, God has them here, we need them. So we don't need to have that mentality. We don't need that. Every member is vitally important. There's no big eyes. There's no little U's. We are function as a body. And sometimes as a preacher, everybody thinks, man, if things are going great, the preacher is wonderful. He may be sorry and things going wonderful. But he gets credit for it. But it's a double-edged sword, because guess what? He could be doing everything God wants him to do, and things be going sour in the church. And everybody said, man, we need to get a new preacher. Amen. Y'all got quiet. I'm glad you didn't holler amen on that one, okay? But you may think it's time to get rid of a new preacher. But what it is, lots of times the preacher been up front, he gets the attention. You talk about a church and say, oh, we love our preacher, or with this, that, and the other. We hear that, all right? Or, you know, that's probably just the ones I hear, okay? But everybody seems to give the preacher credit, whether it be good or whether it be bad. But I promise you this, whatever we do here at Mount Hebron Baptist Church, one day He's going to weigh and put everybody on the scale. And everybody's going to be rewarded according to what they've done and their faithfulness and their service, to how faithful they were, whatever God gave them. Let me just tell you, and this will be the last point, our purpose in the body. Let me tell you this. See, I believe it's promote unity. Promote unity. Every member does his or her part. They submit to God willingly, doing what God's called them to do within the body of Christ. And they're going to be able to function at the capacity God intended them to. There's going to be peace. There's going to be unity. But the problem is, there's too many feet who want to be hands and too many ears who want to be eyes. Think about that. Verse 25 says this, and there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. And it says, whether one member suffer, all members suffer. He said, verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and all members in particular. And I'll say more about this. Look at 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. Notice what Paul wrote here at the very beginning of 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. I believe when everybody's in their place, there's no division. The Bible says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. There be no divisions among you, but you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. So he makes it clear. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Turn there. Philippians 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. Whether I come to see you or else I be absent, I hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. The ultimate goal of every one of us ought to be for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Amen. That ought to be our unifying rally and call. When we are not in, listen, when we're in the body of Christ, that ought to be the ultimate desire of every person that is here tonight. I believe that the word divisions in 1 Corinthians 1:10 is amazing because the word comes from a butcher's term, meaning to divide into pieces. Now let me just tell you, how useful would it be if we took and we dissected a man and set him apart? How useful would that man be? Guess what? I got news for you. Frankenstein ain't real. Right? Amen. Ain't real. But a lot of churches, listen, if they ain't careful, if they start dividing up one another. Listen, we're one body. We're one body. Some sound for Paul. Some sound for Cephas. Some say, well, I like Apollos. And there's always that group in there that wants to be more spiritual. I'm for Jesus. They probably just want to sound more spiritual. Maybe they was. Maybe they was really that way. But good news for them. We come to Mount Hebron Baptist Church. It's not about who's an Ayer or who's a Brogle. It's not about who's a Montgomery, who's a Hardwick. It's not about those things. It's not about who is this. Well, there's Todd, there's their group. There's that other group of Allens over there. Gary, that's a different group. And there's another. It ain't about that. Huh? It's not that at all. You know what it is? It's not about lanes. Now we look around. What is it? We're one body. We're one body. And that's the way God designed it. You say, well, we're different. It don't matter if you're different families. You're still one in the body of Christ here at Mount Hebron Baptist Church. Now, here's what I'm saying. Let's put this. You say, well, we don't need this. We don't need that. Let me just say something. I as chaplain of Galilean Home for about 10 years. First one over there, there's a boy named Abdul Samad. Some of you know him. No, Brother Herbert knows him. And he works at Galilean Home. I call him Nubs. And the reason we call him Nubs is because he picked up a bomb when he was a little kid over in Afghanistan, blew one of his eyes out, and lost part of his foot. He said, I can't believe you call him Nubs. Isn't he offended? No, he called me redneck. So we got along pretty good, me and Nubs, and had one boy from Haiti. We run around together sometimes, and he was missed leg, named John Bootlegger, and we called him Bootlegger. Okay, so when we come in, call Nubs Bootlegger, people say, I know they thought I was awful sometimes, but we had good. Let me tell you something about that boy. Was amazing. I can remember him sitting down, and Jill maybe has seen him do this, prop his legs up and write and do his homework with his feet. That's crazy. Is that not crazy? We go play basketball, and he could shoot with those nubs. In fact, we played at Campbellsville University one time, a 3-on-3 tournament. And we got out there, and I thought, you know what? Nubs can shoot. He can do all right. And he could, but he got out there showing off in front of people. He's shooting them. None of everybody's just watching him. You know what would happen if we played? Everybody would have felt sorry for him and backed off of him and let him shoot. And after he'd hit 2 or 3 threes, they said, I've got to guard this guy. At that point in time, we probably done won the game. But as soon as we started off, you know what somebody did? Because they'd seen him shoot, they got right on him. Now, he might shoot lights out, but he can't shoot with somebody right on him because it takes him a little time to get set. It don't matter how amazing he is, he don't perform as well as he should when he's missing his hands. It don't matter how amazing he is, watch somebody right with their feet. Listen to me. They don't perform at the capacity they could perform if they'd had their hands. Now, he can do a lot of things that just blow your mind, but he's always hindered to some degree because he does not have hands, and he functioned as well as you about possibly could without hands. But I sit back and think, if he can do all this without hands, imagine what he could do with hands. Let me just say something to you. I want you to understand this today. Wouldn't it be amazing what we could do as a church, and we could become and be unified for the glory of God if we were all doing what God has called us to do? You say, what is it God wants? I can't answer that for you, but I promise you pray and you seek God. He said, listen, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God what, and he gives it to him liberally. You approach God and see if he will not answer your prayer and show you and direct you in what you are doing. And so, but here's the second thing I want to say to you, that we shouldn't desire a more visible spot, whatever it may be. You may not like your place. I may not like my place at times. There's times as pastor, I said, man, I'd rather be sitting right there. I'd rather be quiet in a corner. Somebody said, I can't believe that, Brother Graham. I'll tell you, it's true. There's lots of times I'd like. There's lots of times I'd like to just say, right, "See y'all later," huh? He said, "Oh, you say that? Yeah." And you probably thought things too. Sometimes you thought, "Man, I'm just going to sit here and try to be real quiet, not be unnoticeable too." So you're not fooling me. Everybody wants that. But the truth of the matter, you may not like your place, but you're to be at your place until Jesus comes and function there. And it's obvious in verse 28 through 30, we're all not the same. He set some in the church, first apostles, second letter prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, talking about the spiritual gifts that he's blessed the church with. But I believe that we ought to function in the body after the manner that promotes unity and peace and success for the whole body. How frustrating would it be if my hands wanted to be my feet and my feet wanted to be my hands? Now, it may be amazing how well I could get along if I could learn to walk on my hands. It may be amazing if I could take my feet and feed myself. Might be amazing. But could I ever really operate the way God designed me? No. And what, you know what he'd probably do? Probably frustrate the rest of the body. Shoulders start having problems. Joints start having problems with my legs if I was doing things like that. My feet would probably cramp up and bend up every which way trying to do things like that. And you say, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying this. When we are not in the place that God has called us and uniquely gifted us for and doing what we're supposed to do but trying to do the job that somebody else is doing or wanting the position that someone else has, you know what it is? It frustrates the whole body. And I believe this, we get down to another thing. God's interested. Let me tell you, here, within our position in the body, we see that, yes. But I believe this, God also, in our purpose, He wants us to participate in everything that He's doing with care and love one for another. Look at verse 25. The Bible says, there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. Should be no schism. That's division. You have a schism, you have a division. He said that there shouldn't be this, and there shouldn't be going on, but listen, that you ought to have care one for another. And so, same care for what it says. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with. Where one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. But now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Now, you see, you may think that all members are not all that important. And you may think that I ain't really worried about this person or that person. Well, let me just illustrate. If a body's functioning healthily, if you're healthy, you go outside and you get in there and you slam your finger in the car door, do you think the rest of the body cares? My head don't go, just a finger. My foot goes, that's a long way from me. And my heart don't say, big dummy. Doesn't do that. You know what happened? My feet gets involved. And I'm like, this other hand instantly gets involved and grabs. And I'm squeezing every muscle in my body. I mean, I'm flexed up to that point. And I'm mad. Tears come in my eyes. I may be holding them back. I'm sweating. Head gets involved in this thing. And suddenly the head starts saying, finger, honey. Get some ice on that thing. Finger, honey. Drill a hole in that fingernail and get that blood out from underneath that. Why? Because suddenly every part of your body hurts with that finger. Am I right? That's what happens. You know what? We're here, the member of the body of Christ. Somebody else hurts, we all hurt. And thank God that happens at Mount Hebron Baptist Church. When we're hurting, we get together and we pray. We hold hands. Let's get together and pray. I thank God for a church like that. I do. And I'm saying to you, everybody, listen, we'll have mutual care one for another. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. I believe that we are to seek out to make sure that we care one for another. Let me say this, and I'm done with this last point. This is the same point. But I want you to see this. We talk about our purpose is to participate in what God is doing here in the body. Let me say in verse 27, he says, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." Every member is be participating in the body, in particular. In particular. When a member hurts, it affects the whole body. One's exalted, we all rejoice in that. When everything functions as it should, the church operates efficiently and accomplishes what God wants it to do. When parts don't function as they ought to, guess what? There's problems and nothing gets done. Why is that? I'll tell you why. Because if the church is not progressing, if they're not operating the way God wants them to, it's either because of sin within the body, or it's because there's separation in the body, there's schisms in the body, or people are more interested in self than they are promoting others and putting others first. When you have those three things, let me tell you, you will not have a church that's operating at optimal performance. And Paul wrote here, he's telling this church, listen, yes, God has gifted you. God has blessed you. God's given you all these things. His desire was that they would operate at a maximal level. Now tonight, where has God got you? Are you doing what God really wants you to do here at Mount Hebron Baptist Church? Are you, maybe you're desiring some other thing and you're not satisfied where actually God, you know where God wants you. You need to repent of that. Listen to me, if God's people, if we want to see God bless our church, we need to be where God wants us to be and do what He wants us to do as the members of this body. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the Word of God tonight. Lord, there's so much here. I could spend more time, and I know it seems maybe drudgery to some, but I love Thy Word. I love it. I pray, Father, that You would help me to be faithful to it. And Lord, I'm thankful, God, that Your people, You have put us together in a wonderful way. You said of the human body that we are fearfully and we're wonderfully made. God, I think the same thing of the church body. We are fearfully and wonderfully made according to Your sovereign plan. And God, when we're where we're supposed to be, we'll see Your blessing. We'll see You work in a magnificent way. And I believe when there's a healthy body, there's going to be production. When there's a healthy body, there's joy. When there's a healthy body, we're able to do things that is amazing. We were able to go with energy and vitality when there's a healthy body. And God, if we don't have the vitality, and God, if we're not seeing growth, not seeing change, not seeing addition, it's because the body's not where it needs to be. And God, help us as Your people to put You first. And put others first and self last. Lord, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet.